97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Happy weekend and welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Mark Cox here along with my partner Bo Matthews and producer Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Glad that you are along with us this weekend. Boy, we have had a beautiful stretch of weather, haven't we? This has just been fantastic. Got Veterans Day this weekend. We're going to be talking about the big Veterans Day parade up in Florissant and can't wait, Bo.
That's very cool. Yeah, the weather's been unbelievable. Last year, it was December 1st before I started my first fire in the house, because we heat with wood mainly.
Right.
And we've already burnt a couple of nights. It's like, wow, what is going on? And then we get this great week to get out, and I've been spending a lot of time leaf blowing. Now, we have two schools of thought, and when you're married, you have to compromise on how to do the leaves, although I'm the one doing them. My wife believes you should get out there two or three times and do them over and over and over. I think... wait till they're all on the ground and then deal with them.
Hey, what's the compromise if you're the only one out there doing it?
Well, she's my wife. I'm going to listen to her.
Good answer. That's a great answer.
So that's what I've been doing. But man, the weather, you just can't beat it.
So this is what I've been doing. I generally mulch the first couple of rounds. When the leaves first start falling, I mulch because my yard can use the extra composting.
In other words, you don't do anything.
No, I do. And then near the end, I'll get out there and with the leaf blower and start picking up the bigger leaves at the end. But I mulch the first couple times.
Well, I think that's good. And the big rain we had this past week, I was meant to get my fertilizer down on the yard. Missed that rain, so I'm hoping that we'll have some more rain before it goes to a freeze. But you got to protect yourself. You got to get your stuff done. But there's just there's also drinking a nice bourbon by the bonfire, and you don't want to screw that up and waste your time doing leaves three or four times.
No kidding. I think Bo Matthews, you probably need to buy a raffle ticket where one of the prizes is an entire basket of good bourbon. I'm talking stuff that's hard to find, and we're going to talk more about that later in the show, but I'm having something, helping out with something this year called the ATF raffle. Doesn't that sound good?
It sounds good, and I heard you talking about it on the show earlier this week on your morning show, and I thought, now that's cool, because you're going to have three prizes for this drawing, and you can get the tickets right now.
Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. You'll get a pick from one of those. If you're the first winner,
you get a bottle of MD 2020. Hold on, let me interrupt. You get either a bottle of MD 2020, Mad Dog 2020, a carton of Marlboro, or a squirt gun.
One of the three. That's it. Yeah, that's perfect. I like it.
That would have been the cheap way to go.
There will be no Mad Dog 2020 in your basket. You might have a bottle of Blanton's, which is kind of hard to find. In fact, there could be two bottles of Blanton's in there. E.H. Taylor. These are all Buffalo Trace products. Eagle Rare. New Riff. Yellowstone, Old Elk. The list is long, and the contributions keep coming in. So we're probably going to have more than maybe a dozen bottles in there, I would think. But the tickets are only $10, and it's a lot better odds than Powerball. Have you bought a Powerball ticket, Bo Matthews?
Yeah, well, my dad bought me some, and he took a picture of it and sent me from Jersey. He sent
That's
me a picture.
Nice.
These are your tickets, and these are mine. He says if he wins, he'll never hear from me again. I'll never hear from him again, is what he said. I'm like, great. Thanks, Dad. Love you, too.
That's great. No. I love that. But the odds are much better because clearly not as many people are going to be playing. And we're going to pick a winner November 23rd. We'll have all the details. We're going to talk to our friends from Responder Rescue. They are the sole beneficiaries of this raffle. They're staging it. 100% of the profits go to Responder Rescue that have the back of our first responders, police, fire, EMS. If they're hurt in the line of duty or fall on hard times, they're there to help out, to sometimes pay mortgages, to sometimes help out with medical bills. I love what they do. I just think it's
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we, matter of fact, I'll just put this little plug in too. We've set the date for the Big Dogs Poker Bash, which does something similar for the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. That's March 5th of 2023, and we'll talk about it as we get closer. But anytime, I mean, as much bad rap as cops and first responders get, it's horrible. So more importantly, we need organizations like this, First Responders Rescue, and back them up, because cops, when I was a kid, and even today, still the good guys, as far as I know.
That's great. And be sure and save me a seat at the table this year, Bo Matthews. Enough warning, I'm going to be at the Big Dog Poker Bash this year. Had a great time there last year. That was good stuff. It really is.
Yeah,
you know what's coming?
I really appreciate you doing what you're doing with this,
thank
this group,
you.
Too.
Thank you. More details on how you can buy your tickets coming up here in just a couple of minutes. ResponderRescue.org is the easy website to go to, or you can go to ours, 971talk.com/Cox, and you can find the link there to buy tickets. We hope you do. Still ahead, though, you know, Tuesday is a rather big day. I can't remember. What's going on Tuesday, Bo?
It's Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
It's just Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
It's 2A Tuesday on my show. It's also voting day. It's election day.
Oh,
so some huge issues on the ballot this year. In fact, I have a voter's guide that's also on my website at 971talk.com. If you're wondering about some of those amendments that are on there and how you should vote, I kind of easily explain what those are for Missouri and Illinois. There's one big one in Illinois, and there are five on the ballot in Missouri. So all that's on my voter's guide, and people can find out. But of course, the Second Amendment always is on there, because you got crazy gun banners who get elected to office and see it as their primary goal to overrule your Second Amendment rights.
Do you think the San Francisco incident with Paul Pelosi would have been different had he had a firearm in the House?
Oh, well, absolutely. If he'd had security in the house of the person who's a heartbeat away from the presidency. I mean, for goodness sake, it doesn't make any sense. Lots of questions to be asked there. But I think at the end of the day, who you vote for Tuesday is important. You need to know what the record is on the Second Amendment. And we're going to kick that around a little bit. Some of the important issues, we'll talk about the shooting that happened in the Gateway Visual Performing Arts Center. We're going to talk to Aiden Johnson from the Gun Owners of America coming up here in just a second.
As we continue this wonderful weekend, man, it is so nice out. Get outside and enjoy it. And hunters, hopefully everything is going well for you there. But stick around. We've got Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We continue next, and we're going to talk. I mean, because really, a lot of people think, oh, midterms, I'm not even going to vote. No, you need to vote, and we're going to try and help you make the right decisions when you do vote. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory. They have the most impressive in-stock silencer and suppressor selection in St. Louis, and it's a real easy process. If you want to get a silencer, a.k.a. suppressor for your firearm, head to RazorbackArmory.com, get their address, and head into the store into Pear. They're like a half a mile from 270, east of 270. It's a great store. You'll love them. Razorback Armory, tell them Bo sent you.
Just so
all right,
you know,
this segment. What?
Just so you know, those do not work on spouses. I mean, the silencer. The suppressor. You can't buy one and screw it onto the mouth of your spouse. That doesn't work. So I'm just warning people out there who might have taken that the wrong way.
Okay, you may be under the impression, just like Hollywood, that it makes a gun like silent.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So you could try it on your wife, but that ain't going to happen. Or your barking dog or whatever.
Or whatever. Does not work. No, not at all. So glad.
Okay.
Hey, so Election Day is, of course, Tuesday. It's going to be huge. There's so many issues out there that are at the top of people's list. Obviously, gas prices, the price of a pound of ground beef at the grocery store, the price of lunch meat, everything has gone through the roof. I mean, it's incredible. So I think that's going to be the number one issue for most Americans. But we're doing Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and I'm hoping that in the back of the mind of voters on Tuesday is the fact that the current administration and the people that run the House and the Senate filled with people who want to figure out a way to circumvent your Second Amendment rights. And it's something that I'm hoping is going to play a role for a lot of you folks out there. Well, we want to introduce right now Aiden Johnston. Not only is he with Federal Affairs Director for Gun Owners of America, he's also a St. Louis native. We've had him on the show before. Aiden, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Going to be, I know in places like Texas where Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke is running, that this is going to be front of mind for voters, but maybe not in each community. And it's our job to kind of remind them, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Democrats' thoughts on crime policies have been driving gun owners. Well, first of all, they're driving criminals to commit crimes in broad daylight, and just crime is skyrocketing, and it's driving more and more new gun owners to gun stores to purchase their first firearms to take care of their own defense, right? They realize how out of control things are, and they're going to go out and buy their first firearm and defend themselves, and the police won't.
Well, the bottom line is, if you do go out and you are a first-time gun owner, gun buyer, you need to train, and you need to train a lot. But when it comes to the ballot, as we were prepping the show this week, I thought, man, we need to talk to somebody. How do voters discern which candidates support guns? I mean, is it just, I mean, easy to say it's the conservatives or the Republicans, but how do we dig a little deeper into each candidate? Do you have any advice for us on that point?
Yeah, look, it's really easy for someone to say, I support the Second Amendment, but we need this law, that law. Anything that comes after but is false. The Second Amendment says that it shall not be infringed. You have a right to keep and bear arms, and anyone who doesn't support it in one way or another is not worth supporting. But if you look at a candidate who says they support the Second Amendment, what are the kind of things you can look for? Well, for starters, we need concealed carry reciprocity. Your license, you have to get a license to carry in some states. In Missouri, you have constitutional carry. You should be able to carry in all 50 states. So look for a candidate that supports something like that. You know, there are their ATF is creating a national illegal national gun registry using forms 4473. You want to ask candidates where did they stand on that issue, but you can also look at other liberty issues and see where they stand. What are they doing? What do they want as far as crime is concerned? Are they for cashless bail? Are they allowing criminals to run rampant on their streets, or do they support your right to defend yourself? This is just a few of the kind of things you can look for in a politician to see whether or not they're going to be for your right to self-defense.
Yeah, I love that. Aiden Johnston, our guest with the Gun Owners of America. We had, unfortunately, a school shooting here a week and a half ago. Two people lost their lives. Others were injured. The shooter, the insane teenager who decided that he, because of his own personal mental problems, he was going to take it out on others, did the shooting. What we've been told in the days since then, in fact, within about 8 or 9 hours of the actual shooting, is that it was the gun's fault. Right. That is the default. Listen to the mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones, on this.
Let me be absolutely clear. The scourge of gun violence that continues to claim the lives of our children and families in their communities is a national emergency. It's a public health crisis that requires federal action.
It's a scourge, apparently, of gun violence. I'm not making fun of the shooting, but I'm making fun of these progressive politicians who immediately pivot to the easiest thing. Now, I didn't hear the mayor of San Francisco immediately call for a ban on assault hammers when Paul Pelosi got attacked by a mentally insane person. But in St. Louis, that's what they pivoted to. The mayor, our congresswoman here, Cori Bush, members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, other local politicians all jumped on the bandwagon and said it had to be the gun. Well, you know what? The guy went to a gun store to buy one and for some reason got rejected. So he bought it illegally.
You're absolutely right. Gun control is not the solution. It's part of the problem here. Speaking of congressional action, Congress needs to allow teachers and parents to carry firearms to defend our kids. They are in the classrooms. They care about the kids the most, and they are best positioned to defend them. Now, I do want to praise, I think it's really worth praising the police response as well in the St. Louis school shooting, compared to Uvalde, which was an absolute tragic failure of police and of the Gun-Free School Zones Act of 1990. And speaking of congressional action, after that shooting, Congress did nothing to reform police response, did nothing to harden our schools, did nothing to arm teachers, and instead passed more gun control. Well, is that working? Clearly not.
You know, Aiden Johnston, our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, I have to think that, you know, school teachers are great teachers. They're also great learners. And what teacher wouldn't want, well, most of them, but what teacher couldn't learn how to use a firearm and use it effectively, especially for the last several years? Our kids have been having to go through active training, you know, like a tornado warning training session. To me, it just makes sense that those people that are in the schools, if there's one resource officer, boy, you're lucky. If they're not armed, then it's really just another person in the building. Has there ever been any initiative that has moved towards teachers being able to carry while being in school?
This whole summer, we were pushing for that in Congress. This whole summer, Congress was rejecting that idea, and it was absolutely tragic to see. We focused on gun control. We didn't focus on police reform. We didn't focus on arming teachers. But you're absolutely right. Teachers care about the kids. Teachers are right in the classroom. Teachers are well adept at learning, and they should want to defend your kids. I would want to send my children to a school where the teachers wanted to save our children's lives. You know, I've seen schools, colleges that passed out hockey pucks to throw at active shooters. What do you want, a hockey puck or a firearm? It's very obvious which is the tool that will defend your life and which is the one that's going to get you killed. Self-defense is a natural right, and teachers have it, and parents have it when they go to schools or when they're off school property. And GOA, we support that right.
I think of even the health of the children. If there's a medical emergency, they're trained in what to do to, you know, save the kid from a peanut allergy or whatever. They know the process to do that. I would just think that it would make sense, even if it's not all the teachers, if it's, you know, every other or whatever. But on a lighter note, I think I'm going to start the Hammer Owners of America organization. Would you like to come work for me?
You know what? If it's an arm, you can bear it. The simple fact is actually that hammers cause more deaths. There are more murders and crimes committed with hammers every year than rifles. So why don't we start? Why are the Democrats calling for a ban on hammers? I don't know. They're calling for a ban on semi-automatic so-called assault rifles.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, Aiden, I covered this a lot on my show this week, and I ran a soundbite. We have one reporter in town who had the cojones is a good word for it, to ask the question when the school board finally held a news conference. And they said, listen, you had 7 security guards in the building. They were all unarmed. Why wouldn't it make sense for the security guards, at least? If let's forget the teachers for a minute. A lot of the teachers I know are, at least in urban schools, are left of center and may not be comfortable with that. Why not arm the security guards? His point to the guy was, if the first guy to encounter the bad guy had had a gun and could shoot back, this untrained 19-year-old probably would have turned tail and ran because he didn't have any training. He wouldn't have known what to do if bullets were flying back at him. So the answer from the school board president was, well, that's the wrong question. And people carrying guns in our schools make our kids uncomfortable. And his follow-up was, are they more comfortable with a guy carrying a gun who's a good guy versus a bad guy in camo coming through the front door shooting at them? What makes them more uncomfortable? I don't understand why this isn't a conversation in every school district across the country.
You know, the anti-gun movement has created a stigma around the exercise of a constitutional right, and that's a horrible, horrible thing. You have a right to keep and bear arms for self-defense, and yet we think that it's okay for kids to be afraid to see a firearm at school. We protect money. We protect our banks. We protect our politicians. We protect our courts with armed guards. Why in the world wouldn't we let a teacher conceal carry or a parent conceal carry to defend our children when they're vulnerable at school and people are targeting them?
Yeah,
it blows my mind. And that we're not talking about something crazy. We're talking about a constitutionally protected right.
Yeah. And here's the other thing they blamed this week, last week, Aiden. They blamed constitutional carry and they blamed SAPA, the Second Amendment Preservation Act here in Missouri. The argument was that because of constitutional carry, police don't feel like they have the right to stop somebody they see walking down the street with a gun hanging out of their pants. And the other argument is SAPA makes it impossible for them to work with federal law enforcement. I disagree with both of those points of view, but that's part of their argument in pushing for red flag laws and gun bans in the state of Missouri. That's what they called for last week.
Right. Well, first of all, the Second Amendment Protection Act, that only applies to new gun control laws, and the Gun-Free School Zones Act has been around since 1990, and it's always been illegal to murder children in a school, so that's ridiculous. Secondly, the constitutional carry has absolutely nothing to do with a man carrying a rifle into a school and attacking children. It has to do with, like I said, murder. It has to do with, you know, being on a school grounds, which is illegal under that federal law. And then finally, when it comes to how he purchased the firearm, okay, he was denied a background check, and then he did go and buy one at a private sale. That's illegal. That's against federal law. He's not allowed to do that. Criminals will always get firearms, no matter what the gun control law is. I read a story from only a week ago where a Philadelphia sheriff sold guns that were used in a shooting at a school sporting event to an illegal immigrant. If the police are going to illegally sell handguns like that, then no matter what gun laws you put in place, some criminal is going to commit some criminal act with a firearm. They're going to get their hands on them, and there's nothing you can do about that except protect yourself and except exercise your right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, the sad part about that school shooting, and I just had lunch with a dear friend of the teacher who was killed in that. It's just horrifying. But I would like I said, I would think teachers would want to be able to have that ability, because if you're security officers, one of them or seven of them are unarmed in a school, and there is a situation like this, like it is happening occasionally, you basically have mall cops, and that's not going to help anybody.
That's a good point, Bo. I'm glad you brought that up. Somebody pointed out to me that sometimes the people that haven't been able to get into a police academy and end up defaulting to some of these security guard positions may not be the person you want to be the one with the firearm in the school. I mean, I'm not going to label all of them that way, but somebody in law enforcement did bring that up to me. In St. Charles County, which is just to the west of St. Louis here, you know that, Aiden, you grew up here, they have a school resource officer in every school. I don't understand that. Why would you not harden the most precious buildings we have, which are our school buildings? It just makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I think if people want to harden our schools, if we want to do things to the structures to make them more secure, if we want to hire school resource officers and have them be armed and present, that seems fine and great. And like you said, some of them most of them are probably outstanding individuals. Some of them might have a little bit less training or be sort of a police reject or something like that. You know what? That is why I would never only put my faith in a school resource officer. If you look at Parkland, the shooter was convicted, life in prison just this past week. There, the school resource officer waited. The police waited outside of the school for so long that it was one of the most deadly school shootings until, again, Uvalde this past year, where also the police waited for almost an hour, and then we had the most deadly school shooting in our nation's history. But you know what? A school resource officer, they might be down the hall. They might be like at Uvalde out to lunch, which, you know, should be completely against school policy. But the person that's best situated to defend our children is the adult that's in the classroom.
Yes.
It's the teacher. It's the person who cares for those kids every day. It's the person who knows everything about those kids. It's the person who can tell when something is going wrong. And if you gave them the training to you know, de-escalate in a crisis or to carry a firearm, I mean, these are important tools that we just don't give our teachers, and I don't know why. It's a tragedy.
Aiden, I'm just happy I grew up in a time when the cops were the good guys, and I always enjoyed when I was a kid in elementary or junior high when the cop would come in on career day. It's like, oh, cool! They're all geared up. They've got their firearm right there. I mean, it comforted me, and I think that if it was instilled in the minds of the little ones, that it would comfort them as well, especially when they hear about the headlines that go on. Anyway, Aiden Johnston, thank you so much. We wanted to get you on before Election Day, and you did a great job. Again, vote with your heart and really do your homework on which candidates support the Second Amendment. Aidan Johnston from the Federal Affairs Director. He is the Federal Affairs Director of the Gun Owners of America. Thanks for joining us, Aidan. And soon to be the director for the Hammer Owners of America.
All right. Great to get Aidan on here again. We appreciate that. Gunowners.org, by the way, is their website. They do great work all across the country. Most of these big lawsuits, they're in on that against these states with restrictive gun ordinances, including the people who are still forced to get a firearms owner ID card over in Illinois. They're fighting that too, and I think they're going to win one of these days.
I hope so.
Good stuff.
So.
Hey, coming up, I've got a raffle you need to hear about, Bo Matthews. Can I just tell you that?
Oh, I heard you talking about it this week.
Baby, it involves alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. It doesn't get any better than this, and it helps first responders. We're going to get to all that and more coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Why would we be playing that song? Well, because we've got our friends from Responder Rescue on the phone, and they are we're helping them out with their raffle this year to raise money for the organization, and nothing makes me happier than doing that. My friend Pat Byrne is on the phone, and Pat, welcome into the show.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, great to get you on here this morning. You know, I know last year we were able to help you out with this raffle. We shocked ourselves, I think. We raffled off with our friends from the range, St. Louis West, an AR-15 style rifle, and it was a great success. We raised $25,000, I think, for what you guys do over there. That was fantastic. So we're giving it another go this year. I'm so happy we can help you out.
Oh, my gosh. We look forward to this time every year. It's such a great fundraiser, and people enjoy it. And you guys get behind it, and it's great.
Pat, I know that Mark was shocked last year at the ticket sales, especially that final surge that happened.
Yeah.
That had to have been a boost to everybody at Responder Rescue. Can you tell us how important that money is for what you do?
Oh, it's, you know, people ask us and talked about it, you know, what do we, you know, do and how do things come up? And I always say it seems like the money we get donated today gets used tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's Mark has been doing this now for a few years, and you're just surprised at the different issues and things that people suffer with that nobody even knows.
Yeah, you know, I talked to your wife Lisa the other day, who does such a great job for you guys as well, and tried to get her on the radio today, and she pushed it off on you. She said she was trying to build up her nerve. I think she'd be a natural, but I couldn't talk her into doing it, Pat.
She is.
So she told me that she currently had a stack of requests on her desk with people asking for help. So when you talk about the money coming in and going right back out, we were able to feature on my radio show on 97.1 a couple of months ago a local officer who was forced to quit her job because of some awful TMJ in her jaw, temporomandibular joint disorder that was apparently she had arthritis on top of that, and it kind of focused on her jaw. She was having to have a jaw, I don't know about replacement, but certainly some just horrible surgery that she had to have, expensive surgery that insurance wasn't going to cover. And that's an example of one of the things that you guys were able to step in and help out with, right?
Yes. And that's basically, you know, once all your resources have run out, that's when we come in. If we can, you know, if it's something we can help with, we're more than happy to try to help this particular girl. She had this disease. It's disfiguring. It's she had, you know, months to live if she wouldn't get this surgery. And, you know, you hate to say it, but today's medical, you know, world and the world we live in, you know, everything costs money. And
sure,
even if it's life threatening, it doesn't matter. It's still going to cost money, and that's what it's going to take to fix you.
Yeah. Well, I know
Pat Byrne from First Responders Rescue is our guest. And Pat, I wanted to ask you, if you have a rookie on as a first responder or a seasoned 20-year vet, does it matter? Are you helping everybody at any category as a first responder?
Yes, pretty much. It, you know, your first day is the same as your last day. Doesn't matter. It can, you know, only takes one call for, you know, something to happen, or, you know, we don't even know. It could be, you know, at home. It could be, you know, a tragic illness that comes out of nowhere. And, you know, everybody thinks, you know, first responders are tough and they have to smile in the face of adversity. And it's very tough. And it's very tough to get first responders to ask for help.
It's true. And, yes. I would point out the difference between backstoppers. I mean, obviously, with Guns and Hoses coming up, this is a big fundraising month typically for the folks at Backstoppers. My father-in-law was a police officer, good friends with the gentleman, Mr. Patel, who runs that organization. We know a lot about it. They're there for families when people die in the line of duty. And the difference with Responder Rescue is that they're there for people who haven't passed away, but they've gotten an injury or fallen on hard times for some reason related to their job, and that's when you guys are there to step in. How do you evaluate the cases where you can help?
You know, we've been fortunate that most of our cases, people understand kind of where we come in at. And even if they're unsure, they can call the office, talk to Lisa, and, you know, see if it is something we can handle. And we're just like anybody else. You know, if we have money coming in and we can afford it, we try. We're constantly trying to raise money to help these individuals. We don't know if we'll have one person call today, 20 people call today, or zero.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to talk about the raffle. Now, I don't remember last year of you guys having three separate prizes.
Yeah,
did you do that last year?
No, we've sweetened the pot, I think is one way to look at it, right, Pat? So,
yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, people who listen to my show are familiar with what I do at 97.1. I also have a separate podcast called The Mash, which is a bourbon-only podcast. No politics, no nothing else. We just talk about bourbon, which happens to be one of my... Welcome back to Second Member Radio on the Great Outdoors. Why would we be playing that song? Well, because we've got our friends from Responder Rescue on the phone, and they are we're helping them out with their raffle this year to raise money for the organization, and nothing makes me happier than doing that. My friend Pat Byrne is on the phone. And Pat, welcome into the show.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, great to get you on here this morning. You know, I know last year we were able to help you out with this raffle. We shocked ourselves, I think. We raffled off with our friends from the range, St. Louis West, an AR-15-style rifle, and it was a great success. We raised $25,000, I think, for what you guys do over there. That was fantastic. So we're giving it another go this year. I'm so happy we can help you out.
Oh, my gosh. We look forward to this time every year. It's such a great fundraiser, and people enjoy it. And you guys get behind it, and it's great.
Pat, I know that Mark was shocked last year at the ticket sales, especially that final surge that happened.
Yeah.
That had to have been a boost to everybody at Responder Rescue. Can you tell us how important that money is for what you do?
Oh, it's, you know, people ask us and talked about it, you know, what do we, you know, do and how do things come up? And I always say it seems like the money we get donated today gets used tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's, Mark has been doing this now for a few years, and you're just surprised at the different issues and things that people suffer with that nobody even knows.
Yeah, you know, I talked to your wife Lisa the other day, who does such a great job for you guys as well, and tried to get her on the radio today, and she pushed it off onto you. She said she was trying to build up her nerve. I think she'd be a natural, but I couldn't talk her into doing it, Pat.
She is.
So she told me that she currently had a stack of requests on her desk with people asking for help. So when you talk about the money coming in and going right back out, we were able to feature on my radio show on 97.1 a couple of months ago a local officer who was forced to quit her job because of some awful TMJ in her jaw, temporomandibular joint disorder that was apparently she had arthritis on top of that, and it kind of focused on her jaw. She was having to have a jaw, I don't know about replacement, but certainly some just horrible surgery that she had to have, expensive surgery that insurance wasn't going to cover. And that's an example of one of the things that you guys were able to step in and help out with, right?
Yes. And that's basically, you know, once all your resources have run out, that's when we come in. If we can, you know, if it's something we can help with, we're more than happy to try to help this particular girl. She had this disease. It's disfiguring. It's she had, you know, months to live if she wouldn't get this surgery. And you know, you hate to say it, but today's medical, you know, world and the world we live in, you know, everything costs money. And
sure,
even if it's life threatening, it doesn't matter. It's still going to cost money, and that's what it's going to take to fix you.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Pat Byrne from First Responders Rescue is our guest. And Pat, I wanted to ask you if you have a rookie on as a first responder or a seasoned 20-year vet, does it matter? Are you helping everybody at any category as a first responder?
Yes, pretty much. It, you know, your first day is the same as your last day. Doesn't matter. It can, you know, only takes one call for, you know, something to happen, or, you know, we don't even know. It could be, you know, at home, it could be, you know, a tragic illness that comes out of nowhere. And, you know, everybody thinks, you know, first responders are tough and they have to smile in the face of adversity. And it's very tough. And it's very tough to get first responders to ask for help.
It's true. And I, you know, I would point out the difference between backstoppers. I mean, obviously, with Guns N' Hoses coming up, this is a big fundraising month, typically for the folks at Backstoppers. My father-in-law was a police officer, good friends with the gentleman, Mr. Patel, who runs that organization. We know a lot about it. They're there for families when people die in the line of duty. And the difference with Responder Rescue is that they're there for people who haven't passed away, but they've gotten an injury or fallen on hard times for some reason related to their job, and that's when you guys are there to step in. How do you evaluate the cases where you can help?
You know, we've been fortunate that most of our cases, people understand kind of where we come in at. And even if they're unsure, they can call the office, talk to Lisa, and, you know, see if it is something we can handle. And we're just like anybody else. You know, if we have money coming in and we can afford it, we try. We're constantly trying to raise money to help these individuals. We don't know if we'll have one person call today, 20 people call today, or zero.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to talk about the raffle. Now, I don't remember last year of you guys having three separate prizes.
Yeah,
did you do that last year?
No, we've sweetened the pot, I think is one way to look at it, right, Pat? So,
yes, I would say that.
Yeah, people who listen to my show are familiar with what I do at 97.1. I also have a separate podcast called The Mash, which is a bourbon-only podcast. No politics, no nothing else. We just talk about bourbon, which happens to be one of my favorite pastimes. And I got to thinking, you know, there's probably a whole other audience out there that would love a chance to win something other than a gun, that this would interest them. Bourbon is huge right now. So, you know, I was talking to Pat and Lisa, and I'm like, hey, what if we could get some people to donate some really nice bourbon for a basket this year? And it's huge in the community throughout across the country right now. So we put together one of the prizes. The alcohol portion of the ATF raffle includes Blanton's and Eagle Rare and E.H. Taylor and some of these really well-known hard-to-get bourbons that you have a chance to win. There'll probably be 9 or 10 or maybe even more than a dozen bottles. I've still got donations coming in for that right now. So, but I can tell you a little bit of what's in there. It's going to be a great prize. Now, the first ticket pulled on the 23rd of November will be that person will have their choice of the three. And then the second ticket that gets pulled will have their choice of the two remaining prizes. And then the third ticket pull will get the third, whatever the third prize happens to be. So we also have tobacco. I thought for the ATF, we went out to Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Brian Snyder, who runs that, was more than generous. He donated a bottle of his Barrel Pick Old Elk single barrel bourbon to the bourbon basket, and he also donated a box of 50 cigars that are kind of hard to get your hands on. It's a Havana V. Verruco Blue Number 2. It's valued at $600 for these 50 cigars. So that's a great prize, and there's a lot of people in the cigar community, I think, that are going to be interested in that. And then there's the gun that's been donated once again, I should say, by the friends at the Range St. Louis West. And that is an Angstadt Arms UDP-9 pistol with a brace on it. And the Range has donated that. The winner of that would obviously have to go through the Form 4473 and the background check and everything at the Range in order to claim it. But those are the three prizes. It's our ATF raffle, right, Pat? So it ought to be big.
Yes. This should be a good year for it. This will be a fun one.
Hold on, they changed the department. It's ATF and E, isn't it, for explosives?
I don't know. I didn't think about that.
Hey, let me call Dickie Bub or Buckeye. They've got Tannerite that they can put a basket of that together. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh my goodness!
Can it be modified? Can it be modified if we can get that done?
No, not. I don't think we're going
to
go there.
We've already talked to the lawyers. The lawyers have approved this.
Whatever. Okay, well, we'll work on that for next year.
So just let me point out, you can go to responderrescue.org. You can go to 971talk.com/Cox, which is my webpage for 97.1. And both of those places will take you to the link that you can click on to buy the tickets. You can get one ticket for $10. For every 5 you buy, we'll give you a bonus ticket. And my understanding is, we started on November 1st, Pat. We've already had somebody buy $1,000 worth of tickets.
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
Yeah. So we hope that we get more people like that, because our clearly adding, sweetening the pot to 3 winners instead of 1. I was hoping we could crush last year's total of 25,000, and I think we're going to do it.
That's great.
Yes, I have all the faith in you.
Well, just so people know, we're going to be talking about it all month on my radio show. I've got it up on my Facebook page. And then on November 23rd, we will draw the winner at 12 noon. We're going to do, I'll take my show live on Facebook, the Facebook Live for the Mark Cox Morning Show. And we will go out there and we'll pick our 3 winners. We'll announce their names on Facebook. And then, of course, we'll have their contact information. And folks at the range or somebody from Responder Rescue will reach out to them to make sure we get them their prize. So,
and remember, it's pronounced Bo Matthews when you call out that winner. Oh my gosh!
I would be happy with any of those 3 items. Unfortunately, I'm not eligible. I'm just the radio guy helping promote the thing. So that's it.
Right.
Well, pass around the information. That's great stuff, Pat. Great talking to you again, and keep up your great work for our first responders. It's a great mission you guys are on.
Oh, thank you. We couldn't do it without Mark and everything you guys have done for us.
Pat Byrne, I look forward to seeing you soon, my friend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Yeah, I great to get Pat on here. Responderrescue.org, again, 971talk.com, 971talk.com, and then put /Cox, and you will see the link right at the top of my page. We'll make that easy for you. You could also, if you go to the range at all, the range, St. Louis West, 14803 Manchester Road out in Baldwin, you can buy tickets in person out there, like in the store, if you happen to go out there for some reason. But it's just as easy to buy them online. Buy early and often. Act like you're a voter in Chicago. Buy early and often, because we need to crush this $25,000 goal.
And we'll work on the legal team as far as the Tannerite and maybe a fireworks package. How about that for the explosives? That'd be good. Some M80s.
That would be better if we can get something like that donated. Maybe we can add it.
Planning ahead.
Thank you, Bo. Looking forward to it. Yeah, thanks for your support. We hope we can. We'll keep talking about the raffle. We've got till the 23rd, and we think this is going to be huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge it is. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you for listening. Share the show to anybody that you know that loves Second Amendment and the great outdoors. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.